So nitrogen fertilization is among the largest expenses in forage-based cow-calf operations, not only in Florida, but in the entire nation. We've noted such an increase in fertilizer prices that some producers are opting out of fertilizing their fields, and this has resulted in grassland degradation. One thing we can do to promote, in order to tackle this issue, is to promote the integration of grass and legume mixed in, since this can potentially increase the overall land productivity, all at lower input levels. There are a lot of choices when it comes to cool season legumes. However, when it comes to perennial warm season legumes, the options are more limited. And in this category, rhizoma peanut is one of the most used. But however, there's a really high cost associated with its planting, and it takes upwards of 2 years for it to establish and become productive. And these two factors have greatly reduced the adoption among producers. Another option available is the use of seeded peanuts. And two of these species that are commonly used in the Florida area are Arachis hypogea and Arachis ventoe, and we'll be speaking more about these in later slide. In Florida, there's over 2 million acres planted of bahia grass, and as Dr. Joao Vendramini once says, there's really two pastures in Florida. Those that are bahia grass and those that will become bahia grass. And if you're unfamiliar with bahia grass, it has acceptable nutritional value. The crude protein typically remains between 8 and 10% with 46 to 50% digestibility. And we adopted this data from Stewart and collaborators in 2007. So with this in mind, our hypothesis for the experiment was that the establishment of perennial or annual peanuts into existing bahia grass sod should increase the overall productivity, the nutritive value, and the forage potential when compared with unfertilized bahia grass monocultures. And in addition, we studied the forage potential of Arachis hypogea, which is an annual peanut, and we hypothesized that the peanut should be able to establish a seed bank and reseed naturally in the years following the establishment. And our objective for the study was to evaluate the forage potential of four different peanut entries. We had two Arachis glabrata, which are rhizoma peanut, Arachis hypogea, and Arachis pintoi, all in the Pensacola bahia grass in low input systems. So we had five treatments in the experiments. We had unfertilized bahia grass monocultures, and we had four different mixtures of bahia grass. One, two rhizoma peanut entries to Arachis glabratus, I previously mentioned, cultivar EcoTurf and Florigraze, and we had two seeded peanut entries, Arachis pintoi, which is a seeded peanut, very soliniferous and low growth, prostrate growth, I mean. And we had another seeded peanut, which is Arachis hypogea cultivar Tough Runner, which is a peanut that is commonly planted for its seed, and it's this cultivar was developed because of its disease resistance. These peanut fields are commonly applied upwards of 9 applications of fungicide per growing season, and this specific cultivar is very disease resistant. The experiment was conducted at the UF IFAS NFRC at the very north point of Florida, about 60 miles west of Tallahassee, if you're unfamiliar with Florida. So randomized complete block designs with 5 treatments and 4 replications. It's a pre-established Pensacola bahia grass sod from which we applied MPOS at a rate of 0.29 liters per hectare in order to suppress its growth after planting the peanuts. And we analyzed the data using the PRO-C mix procedures from SAS. And the LS means compared the PDIF adjusted by Tukey, and our p-value accepted as less than 0.05. The fixed effects included the treatments and evaluations, and the blocks were considered the random effect. The rhizoma peanut plots were planted on April 17, 2014 at a rate of 1,300 kilograms per hectare, and the seeded peanuts were planted about 2 weeks later, and the difference was due to equipment availability. The pintoi was planted at 12 kilograms per hectare, a little bit higher than the recommended rate. It's typically recommended at 10 kilograms per hectare. And the Arachis hypogea, the seeded peanut, was planted at a rate of 110 kilograms per hectare, which was the recommended rate. We harvested every 5 weeks at a 10 centimeter stubble height. And following each harvest, we supplied the sod with every plot with 7.3 kilograms of phosphorus per hectare and 55.8 kilograms of potassium per hectare. In 2014, we only had 3 harvests since it was the establishment year. In 2015 and 2016, we had 5 harvests, each starting in May. In 2015, we ended in October. And in 2016, we ended in September. We measured dry matter yield, botanical composition, both visual and hand separated. We measured peanut stand and peanut height. We measured nitrogen concentration and delta 15 nitrogen in both the grass and the peanut component. And we also calculated the peanut nitrogen yield. We adopted the IVOMD technique from Moore and Mott. And lastly, we calculated the percent nitrogen derived from the atmosphere, as well as the biological nitrogen fixation. And now for the results. So if we begin with a total dry matter yield, it's better if we separate into the 3 years. We can see that there really was no difference in between year one and year two, unless we look at the July 2015, where we see that the tough runner, the annual peanut, the seeded peanut, excuse me, that it was significantly lower. The true difference comes in the third year, where we can see in the light blue line where the mixtures begin to start yielding more than the unfertilized monoculture. And on average, the mixtures yielded 693 kilograms per hectare, while the unfertilized monoculture yielded on average 541 kilograms per hectare. Next, the peanut presence and the botanical composition. We can begin with a tough runner, the seeded peanut, the annual peanut. Since it wasn't necessarily able to create a seed bank and reseed, we do see a decrease in the third season, by the third growing season. The arachis pinthoid, since it had such low growth, we weren't always at a 10 centimeter height. We weren't always able to harvest the peanut. So its presence, we believe, is largely underrepresented. But we do see an establishment and an increase. The florigrays, the rhizoma peanut, tended to stay relatively the same. And the ecoturf, as I mentioned before, it typically takes 2 years for these rhizoma peanut species to become productive. And we do see an overall increase in the presence of ecoturf in the botanical composition. We can see that we begin with about 5%. And in the last harvest of 2016, we end with almost 30% presence. And now for the delta nitrogen 15, what we can gather from these figures is that all these values are negative, and this is suggesting that every species was fixing nitrogen. For our reference plants, we have this similar trial whose data will be presenting in a poster session at 4, and we use the reference values from the unfertilized monocultures, and those delta 15 nitrogen values range between 2 and 3. Now for the peanut shoot nitrogen concentration, what also took us by surprise was the high amount of nitrogen concentration within the tough runner. It's a very good and good in nutritional value, so we can it's very good feed for cattle. And on average, tough runner its nitrogen concentration differed to all other species, producing about 29 grams per kilogram of nitrogen, while all the other species on average had only 23 grams per kilogram. Now, we saw only a treatment difference when it came to grass shoot nitrogen concentration. We do see that the grasses with the greatest nitrogen concentration were those with the peanut, the tough runner, which was also, as I previously said, the one with the highest nitrogen concentration. This suggests that the peanut is able to fix more nitrogen, thus passing it up to its grass component. Now, for the total nitrogen from the peanut, this is a very busy graph. And if we can see in the pinthoid, which is the black line, as I said before, it was really tough to truly harvest the pinthoid peanut since it had such low stoloniferous growth that at a 10 centimeter height, the peanut didn't always quite was present at that height. So we do believe that this value is underrepresented. Next, if we look at the yellow line, the annual peanut was so variable, and we attribute this to since it is an annual species. And lastly, we can gather that the rhizoma species were more, the ecoserf and the florigrades, the orange and blue lines, were more uniform across the three seasons. And lastly, for biological nitrogen fixation, we can see that the annual peanut on the yellow line fixed the most nitrogen at the beginning of the establishment year, and it tended to decrease. And the ecoturf truly starts becoming productive at the third year following, if we can see in this line, we can see that it's a tremendous increase from the second year to the third year. And now for conclusions, we determined that Arachis hypogea is a viable annual legume for incorporating into Viagrad sod. The performance of Arachis hypogea can potentially improve with less frequent harvests and yearly planting, and there should be more research focused on the grazing tolerance of Arachis hypogea and its performance with different harvesting rates. The performance of the mixed stands was largely underestimated at 10 centimeters height, as I've mentioned a few times. And once established, rhizoma peanut, especially the ecoturf, clearly outperformed all the other species. And upon establishment, the mixtures outperformed the monocultures. Thank you. So the question is, why ecoturf performed better than florigrades? That is a good question. I honestly really don't know. Yes, sir. So the question is if there would be an ideal mixture for these legumes. So when you plant rhizoma peanut, it's generally recommended that you leave the fields off for until they establish. And that takes between 1 and 2 years, depending on each situation. So if you plant something, if you plant the annual peanut, the tough runner as we used, and you begin grazing it or using it for hay, you're potentially going to decrease the performance or the establishment of the rhizoma peanut. So there really isn't a good mixture, I guess.
Do you think perhaps the annual will grow up in such a way that cattle will eat it and leave the perennial as it's establishing down lower? Is that possible?
Well, I think that's going to ultimately hurt the establishment of the rhizoma peanut. And it's really, really expensive to plant, so you really don't want to unplant that. Depending on the cultivar, I know EcoTurf is generally between $300 or $400 to plant, and nobody's going to plant less than 20 acres. Or nobody's going to sell you less than 20 acres worth of rhizomes. So it's really expensive. It will be an expensive experiment if you try it on your farm.
There's another question?
Yes. So the question is if the monoculture of legumes perform better than the grass?
Or how is your performance of legumes in your mixture compared to what do we get out of legumes in a monoculture? In other words, this question is if you want to mix legumes together in a mixture, what if I just planted a field of legumes and a field of the hay of grass? Would that be a more efficient way if there's some way I can mix them?
We had a trial. We just published a paper with looking at the performance of, well, The rhizoma peanut is not able to regrow during grazing intensity, so I think the grass, that it's going to help this regrowth phase, if that makes sense. So I think you won't be able to have such a high stocking rate enough for it to be worth it if you're just grazing just a rhizoma peanut field. But
all right, let's thank our speaker.